Even if you stumble, even if you fail, God will still reach out to you. Don't ever think that you're too far from him, because you can try to run from God all you want. He will chase you down. He will hunt you down like a hound dog. I'm telling you, I know it's a bad comparison, okay? So we're going to delete that from that. But the bottom line is, he will hunt you down. He will go to the places that nobody else wants to go, and he'll find you on the bar still. He'll find you in the crack house. I've told you the story. I went after a guy in a crack house. He was a friend of mine, and he was battling. He was trying to come off of this thing, and we got word one night, and we said, you know what? We're going to go get him. And it was a prompting of the Lord, because I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go into those places if you don't know that God sent you there. But we went in there, and I remember that night, we got him out of there. And the next day, he gave his heart and life back to Jesus, because that's who he was created to be. And he's still doing okay today. He's had a few relapses here and there, but you know what? He's on the right path, and he's going after Jesus, and that's what it's all about. Sin will always be found out. We looked at that. Those things that are hidden will be made known in the light. The Lord said that he will not abide until the sin is removed, and that's the one thing. Achan, what happened was he took from the devoted things, the things that were already consecrated unto the Lord for destruction, and he took them for his own pleasure. He took a bar of gold, and he took some silver, and he took a coat or a garment, and he made them his own. He coveted them, and what it did is it brought reproach on Israel, and there was great judgment that came from that. So sin also will separate us from his presence, because he's not going to abide, and it's really not a God issue. It's an us issue, because when we have sin, you can always tell when people, it's so funny. It's really not funny, but when you start talking about sin or talking about specific things, all of a sudden, the heads just start doing this. Oh, my. Oh, is he talking to me? You get those types of things going on. But I'm telling you what, we don't have to do that. Lift your heads up, man. Let God touch your life. You know, he's not looking at you. He's not afraid of it. Let him come and touch you right where you're at. You might be struggling here today. Friends, that's the body of Christ. We need each other. We don't need to be pointing fingers and condemning each other. We need to be lifting one another up. We need to help each other along. Maybe you're confused about things. Maybe you're having a tough time. You're here today, and you're having just a tough time believing God. Maybe you've been praying for a healing. I know several of you right here in this room have been praying for healing to manifest in your life. You believe in healing, but sometimes when people pray for you, you just wonder, oh, is it ever going to happen? You know, maybe we could start praying, God, I believe, but man, would you help my unbelief? I really need you to help this area. I'm going to stand in your word. I'm going to choose to stand on your word. The Bible also says to commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. You see, our thoughts often follow our works. That's why sometimes you may not feel like you love in a situation, but you choose to love despite your feelings. There's a word there. I'm not going to preach it today. All right. Sin always brings death. It makes us ineffective, unable to stand against our enemies. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I'd encourage you, if you're taking notes, to look at James chapter 1 and right around verse 14. It talks about the process of sin. Because every single one of us is going to come across temptation in our lives, okay? Temptation leads to desire, desire to sin, sin to death, okay? There's a whole process there. But it also says, let no one say that he's been tempted by God. It's not God. It's our sinful desire. See, the sinful desire is resident in our bodies, all right? It's something that we have to contend with all the time. And our choices are influence whether or not we're going to overcome sin or we're going to give in to them. We're either going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit or we're going to be influenced by our flesh. Don't be so surprised when your flesh, even when, you know, as you get older, sometimes you get older and you don't ever have a lust issue. You know what? That just is not the case, guys. It happens. Happens to the best of people. I've seen good men of God serving, and they get old and they're still battling these things in their lives. Temptation is there, but we don't have to give in to our temptations, do we? Do we? There is a God. If we walk in the Spirit, this is what he says. We will not gratify the desires of our flesh. Don't be so surprised when your flesh wants to do the opposite of what God's word says. God has a standard. Don't be surprised at that. It's natural. But don't just leave it at that and just say, I'm just going to give myself to it because I feel like I want to give myself to it. No. You have been given a word of God that you can battle with. You've been given a word of God that is greater than your feelings. It's greater than the things, the desires that are inside of your flesh. And we can honor God with our bodies, which is what the scriptures tell us to do. And then we also said that our lives matter. We are living epistles, okay? And what that word epistle means, it's like our lives are being read by people. And as a Christian, we challenge one another. We said, what are our lives saying to the world around us? Does my life say, man, he's got something that I want, or she's got something that I want? I watch her go through some of the most incredible situations, and she's still got something in her life that's like an anchor for her. Or do they say, man, he sits there and raises his hands on Sunday and praise God and, oh, Jesus, and all this and that, and then they walk out and they live like hell the rest of the week. And I don't mean that as a cuss word. I think you know that. But the bottom line is that, what are they seeing? Are they seeing an accurate representation of Jesus, or are they seeing the phoniness that they've all been saying about the church? Friends, let's not be hypocrites. Let's not be phonies. Let's be real ones. Real ones aren't perfect, but we are forgiven, you see? And we don't have to walk around with our heads puffed up and everything else. Let's just walk around being real people, dealing with real life and giving some answers to the people that need it. Because I'm going to tell you, life is tough. Life is very difficult. And you know, we go through situations. We mentioned this, I mentioned this, and I feel upon my heart, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not trying to capitalize on what happened last week. My heart breaks for what happened last week. My heart absolutely breaks that there was a guy who came into a little church just like this and just started spraying the congregation with bullets. I'm going to tell you this, friends. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't. It says that we'll know the season, but he is going to come back. That is for sure, 100% for sure. It says that it will be like it was in the days of Noah. And there's going to be sin rampant, all kinds of different forms of sin. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a clarion call going out to believers everywhere. I hear it all the time, and they say, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I was in here on Wednesday night, and that's one of the words that the Holy Spirit spoke to meet my heart. He said, prepare you the way of the Lord. I'm coming back. I don't know the day or the hour. It may be in my lifetime, it may not, but I'm going to just tell you, friends, live ready. Live ready. Be covered by the blood of Jesus in your life. Live in such a way that there's no doubt that when you pass on from here into eternity, that those who are left behind know for sure that you are in heaven. Don't leave them with a question mark in their head wondering, well, did they make it? Let's live with the assurance that we all have. Let's live embracing the love of Jesus. Let's live knowing that we are saved. And let's show the people around us that we're saved, not for our glory. Matthew 5:16 says that they would see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. That's why we live it out, is so that people can see Jesus in us. Oh, it's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Sin is a major issue for God. It is, and it's tough to talk about because, man, you got to understand, when I preach this message, I'm preaching it myself. I look in the mirror every day, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, I feel like such a mess up, you know? Oh, but for the grace of God, go I. Oh, man. Sin caused God the Father to turn away from his Son. He couldn't even look at the sin that Jesus was carrying on the cross. He couldn't even look at it, and he turned away. It was a powerful, powerful depiction. And I wasn't trying to be all-inclusive with everything that was being said in those scriptures about the scourging and the beating. And by the way, I actually have to give credit to my son because those are some of his notes that I grabbed. I came across, I said, this is really good, you know, and it was just that depiction of the cross. But here's the question that I want us to look at today. How do I change my direction? I'm going this way. I recognize that I've fallen short, okay? Now, I'm not just talking to an unbeliever. I'm talking to believers. Because as a believer, sometimes we get off track. Oh, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the sacrifice that he made. But you know what? My flesh has been so powerful that I've just started going down this path again. How do we get back? Because Joshua was a man of God, wasn't he? Joshua knew the Lord. Joshua had a heart to please the Lord. He wanted to do right by God. Well, the first thing that he did is that he confessed. He repented, okay? Joshua fell on the earth on his face, is what it says. He and the elders, okay? They fell on their face, they tore their clothes, they put dust on their face, and that was the symbol, it was an outward symbol of mourning when they did that. Because they were shaken to the core. And when sin, when you realize, I haven't done right, well, you might ask, well, what did Joshua really do wrong? It was Achan. Well, one of the things that Joshua didn't do is he'd never inquired or consulted with the Lord before he went to Ai. There's no record of that in the Word. Where every other time, it talks about they consecrated themselves, they consulted with the Lord, they got the strategy from the Lord, but he really kind of took matters into his own hands, didn't he? So he sent them out, and the Lord, when it came down to it, sent the entire, all the fighting men up there. And Joshua only sent 3,000. He kind of, well, they're not real powerful. We don't have to toil everybody with all the, you know, we don't want to tire them too much. But see, that wasn't God's plan at all. So Joshua recognized that there was sin that took place. And he got on his face. And not only him, but he grabbed his elders together with him. And he said, gang, we have got to get right with God. And what they did is they laid themselves before the Ark of the Covenant all day long. And in that place, that was where God began to speak to them and tell them about the sin and the effects of that sin that was in their life. In fact, to the point where God just said, get up, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And when he exposed it and he showed him what was happening, he gave him a strategy on how to take care of it. See, sometimes we're afraid to do that. Sometimes we don't want to do the very things that God has to say. But I'm going to tell you, when you want to get past a repeating sin or a stronghold in your life, sometimes it requires you to do something out of the ordinary. Sometimes it requires you to get on your knees and to get on your face. And I'm not saying that you got to go outside and grab a bunch of dirt out of the garden and throw it on your face, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we need to get down on our knees and just say, God, speak to me. I don't know what's happened here. I don't know why I'm still in this place. I don't know why I'm struggling so bad with this, but I need your help. And I'm going to guarantee you, God will speak to you, and he will show you. Will we listen? Well, we have ears open to listen to what he's saying. But he will speak. Joshua desired to make things right. And I think most of us, most of us want to make things right with God when we fall into sin, or it's a besetting sin, or it's something that we battle with and struggle with. 1 John 1:8-9 says this. I love this scripture. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, okay? If we say that we have no wrongdoing in us, we have no offense against God, we have no being out of bounds by his standard, not our standard, the scripture teaches us that we deceive ourselves. It's self-deception. Sometimes we give the enemy too much credit. We always think it's the devil dancing around trying to get us off track. He does do that, but sometimes it's just ourselves. And if we say we have no sin in our lives, friend, we deceive ourselves. But then it goes on. It says, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. And he will forgive our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say all. All. All means all. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as long as we stay in the place where we say we have no sin, that's a dangerous place to be. Because what you're doing is you're basically making yourself God. Because God's standards are higher than our standards, aren't they? We all have a sinful nature. We all have to contend with it. And I want to say something, because we are living in a world that... And it was a big, you know, this moral relativism thing. It's basically your truth, my truth is my truth. There is absolute truth, friends. It's God's word. It's absolute truth. It's absolute truth. It's not to be questioned or interpreted. As a believer, you can trust his word. His word will always protect. His word will always provide for you. His word is not going to guarantee that you're going to go through life and never be touched by life, but it does say that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you. It says that he is near to those who are brokenhearted, to those who are emotionally crushed, and some of you have experienced great despair in this life, but God says that he will be near to you. These are things that are promises of God promises of God to you in those moments. But our sinful nature wants to say that I can just kind of go out and medicate things my own way. I can go out and do things the way I want, and it's okay for me, but it's not for you. Truth is truth. Truth is absolute. And when we say we are not sinning, when God's standard says otherwise, we're living under deception. And it's not the deception necessarily of the enemy. We're living under the deception of ourselves. Don't we all want to just do things our own way? I would love to just do everything my own way. But you know what? I lived a life. I did things my own way, and I got into a lot of trouble. I got into a lot of situations that weren't good, and I suffered because of those choices that I made. There isn't a person in here in this room that's lived some life. You'd look back and say you'd do some things differently. You may have listened to mom and dad once in a while. You may have listened to your authorities in life. You might have done things differently. Maybe you would have made some major choices in life. But I'm going to tell you, one bad choice can affect your entire life. One bad choice. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love and encouragement that he brings. But see, friends, we're not our own gods unto ourselves. We serve the God, don't we? Amen. This conceptually, it's nothing new, okay? It's been this mindset, okay? It's a humanistic thought, you know? It's been around for thousands of years, so it's nothing new. But I do want to encourage you this way. We need to have the courage to stand up, even when nobody else wants to stand up. Even if you've screwed up and screwed up and screwed up time and time and time again, it's time to draw a line in the sand again and say, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do it his way. I've been trying to do it my way, and it's not working. I'm going to do it his way. It's time to have courage again, even when we screwed up, even when we fell into sin. The second thing that Joshua did is he took responsibility for his sin. He led the way in repentance. He didn't pass the buck. You know, we're good at that, aren't we? Rodney did it. You know, oh, it's Bruce. Bruce did it. Fine, it was Bill. No, it was Don. Don did it. That's right. Nope. We're good at that, aren't we? We like to just point fingers and, you know, make excuses and all this and that. But Joshua didn't do that. He took responsibility and he owned it. He owned it. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. I need mercy. I need mercy. I just need to fall at his feet every day and just say, God, I'm so sorry. Sometimes it's every hour, you know. You know, we could just have some of the most harebrained ideas about sin, or we think that we don't sin. I'll give you a quick example. I have a little confession to make. I'm sitting at home, and I was like, I had all this stuff done, and I was just sitting there vegging, watching like Gold Rush or something on one of the, and Kelly and they were up doing some, the bridal shower. That's where they were. And she comes home, and she's comes in the door, and she's talking to me, and she said something, and I answered her. Why are you being snotty? Well, I'm not. And she just stood there. Now, mind you, I'm just laying there, you know, I'm just kind of like, what? What did I do? She just, why are you being snotty? And you guys know how this works. You don't get away with that, guys. You just don't get away with it. Why are you being snotty? Well, I'm not. Well, and then it comes back. You know, it's never that. It's never done there. A couple 30 seconds later. Are you going to say anything? What? Are you going to apologize? Come on, own it. Own it. And I had to. I had to own it. Sometimes ownership comes a little forced, but it was all good. It was all good. We laughed about it. But we got to take responsibility. And then we got to step heading in the same direction. I love this scripture. As a dog returns to his own vomit, all right, that's kind of gross, so a fool repeats his folly. As a dog returns to his own, and that's the sickest thing, those of us who love our dogs, you know, they could eat something and it'll just make them sick. That's the sick as a dog term, okay? And it's just like, and they throw it up. And then just a couple seconds later, they're back at it. And it's just like, what on earth are you doing, you idiot? You know? Your name is Max, not idiot. But that's what we do sometimes. We screw up. We mess up. And we recognize it. And then we just go right back to it. It's no different than that dog returning to the vomit. It's a disgusting picture, but you see the parallel, okay? You see how it applies to our lives. Many of you know the definition of insanity, okay? It's continuing to do the same thing over and over and over and over and expect different results. It doesn't happen. You're going to get the same results. See, Joshua knew that if he had repeated the same strategy, it would have ended up the same way. So instead, he sought the Lord. He got on his face, he sought God, he got the answer to the problem, and he changed the strategy accordingly. Now, one of the things that he realized is that in the moment, the Lord showed him, you can't stand against your enemies if you're going to let sin remain in your life and in the camp of Israel. So now he's a leader, and he's confronted with a decision that he has to make. Am I going to listen, or am I going to just kind of brush this thing off? Well, he didn't brush it off. He listened, because he had a relationship with God, and when God spoke to him, he listened. He did the hard thing. This is where a lot of us get hung up. It's hard to do the hard thing. Sometimes we're not willing to examine the truth and obey. It's the easiest thing to do. Many of you know my story. I was huge. I was a big man, okay? I'm still a big guy, but you need to multiply this twice. That's what I was, okay? I lost over 200 pounds, about 240 pounds, okay? I'll show you a picture sometime. I'm not real proud of it, but I was big. That's big. Everybody say big.
Big. That's big. Yeah, Ronnie's big. That's big.
But I'm going to tell you what. I had to finally come to the place where I was going to do whatever it took to get my life back. I didn't care anymore about what anybody would say. I needed to get my life back because I was dying. And I knew it. And it wasn't, my system had shut down. I had 5 different comorbidities. I had them all. I had everything wrong. I had one of them being snuffleupagus things that you breathe through at night, you know. She slept really well, you know. All those sleep apnea stuff, I had it all. But I had to do whatever it took. And I'll tell you that story sometime, but I did whatever it took. I had to. And when we examine ourselves, and we see what the truth really is. It's that whole thing. Some of us don't like to get on the scale. Some of us don't like to go to the doctor. We don't want to see what's going on with our blood pressure. We don't want to see what's going on with our weight. We don't want to see how much we've shrunk, you know, as we've got older. Whatever it is, we have to be willing to examine the truth about us. We need to be willing to take a look in the mirror and see what's wrong. Every now and then, we got to do that, friends. Because we may have gotten off track somewhere, and God wants to put us back on track. But see, the lie of the enemy comes in and says that it's going to hurt us when we do this. There are things that we may go through. There may be some ripping apart, you know. Maybe drugs, maybe that thing was our friend. Maybe drinking, maybe that beer was our friend. You know, I loved it, man. I loved having that nice ice-cold can of Miller Lite. I loved it. That was my friend. That was my buddy, you see. But I knew that when I got saved and God had called me, that I had to give that up. Because there was nothing in my new life that was going to be found in that 12-ounce can of barley hops. It's just not going to work. And I didn't need that for my life moving forward. But friends, we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. And Joshua had to do the hard thing. Could you imagine what it would have been like? You had to call in the entire tribe of Judah. And then you had to call in the clan. And then you had to call in the family. And then the very household. And then finally, God reveals to you the man, Achan. And Achan standing before you, you knew what was coming. Because that man was going to lose his life. He was going to be taken to the edge of town along with his family and stoned. Serious stuff. That's the very sin that put Jesus on the cross. Now, friends, we obviously are not in a place where we're taking people out to the edge of town and stoning them today, okay? I know sometimes we'd like to, but you know what? We're not in that place anymore. Because Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and for me. He took our sin, all of it, on the cross. He paid the price. But doesn't that make us want to maybe put a little more effort into our walk with the Lord? If you're questioning things about God, wouldn't that just may, isn't it just possible that he's beyond your understanding of who he is? Isn't it possible that maybe we should, if it's that big of an issue, maybe we should dig into it a little bit deeper and find out what's best for our lives? God does not want to hold you back. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have life abundantly. He wants you to be free from the bondages of this life. And I'm not saying that everything is just going to happen in an instant. Sometimes it does. For me, man, I used to have a mouth. I was dropping F-bombs all the time. That was just my mouth. And you know what? When I started to read that, when I got saved, he just took that away. He took it away. Other things in my life, though, it took time. It took sanctification. It took growing in him. You know, some of those things were real battles. That's what Paul said. I crucify my flesh daily. Daily. Every day I get up, you know, I say, God, I don't know what's going to be in front of me. But today, God, I don't want to be governed by my flesh because my flesh always wants to do the opposite of what you want me to do. And today I just surrender my flesh, Lord God, and I want to be led by the Spirit of God that's inside of me. It was a difficult thing for Joshua to have to go and take care and eradicate Israel of that scourge that was upon them. But he did it. Friends, we have to have a whatever it takes mentality. We need to employ the weapons of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh, okay? They're not in our flesh, all right? But they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Well, what are our weapons? Well, some of them are just very basic things. Commitment to truth, faith, love, hope, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, persistent prayer, fasting, ridding yourselves of unbelief. You know, one of the things that I think has been mispreached in a lot of ways, when they came down off of the mountain with Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration, and they came down there, and the disciples were having quite a time with this boy who was possessed by a demon. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I've been in those situations, and it's ugly when you come face-to-face with a demon. But the thing you've got to remember is that God is greater than any demon, okay? And what he's put inside of you is greater than any resistance that that demon can bring. I'll have to tell you about that sometime. I'm not going to do it right now. But when they came down off of that Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the difficulty the disciples had, they came and said, why can't we, you know, Jesus cast the demon out. And then later on, they went to him and said, why couldn't we do that? And what he talked to them about was their unbelief. And he said, this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer. It wasn't this kind of demon. It was this kind of unbelief. See, friends, one of the biggest battles that we have inside of us is unbelief. It's unbelief, and it's hard. It is hard when we're believing for things. God, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, one of the things that Jesus said, that this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. If you're having difficulty believing for something, or you're just having a difficulty navigating through, I would encourage you to employ fasting. Give up some meals. Put the fork down, you know. If you're like me, that was a good thing when I would fast. And trust me, you're going to live, all right? You're not going to die if you miss a couple meals. You with me on that? Okay. It's true. It's true. I know people have done extended fasting, and I want to encourage you to do that. Take care of yourself. Fasting has incredible health benefits to the body. It really does. So I want to encourage you in that. But pray fast. Pray in the Spirit, for crying out loud. Where have we gotten to the point where we have just shelved the Holy Spirit? Paul said, I pray in tongues more than any of you. I pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And it's not about the tongues. It's just the fact that the Holy Spirit can, when you don't know what to pray, Holy Spirit can pray in you and through you. You know, the Bible talks about the utterances and the groanings and the very things that we don't always understand. But Holy Spirit knows how to pray for that situation if we'll just allow Him to pray in us and through us. And I'd love to talk to you more about that. Come on Wednesday nights, all right? And we'll talk more about that. But it's a good thing. And then lastly, you have to begin again. You got to begin again. See, when you consecrate yourselves and you prepare, once the sin has been removed, the communion and the fellowship with the Lord is restored. And here's God, knowing that Joshua was a bit insecure. Remember in that first chapter of Joshua, how many times God had to say, be of great courage, I think is the way He put it. But be courageous, Joshua. Be courageous, Joshua. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful. Be courageous. I'm with you. And then again, he goes right in here when he talks about the battle of Ai. He gave him the strategy, and he said, I've given you Ai. I've given you the king, and I've given you the men of the city. Joshua needed to be re-encouraged. And friends, when you get things right with God, He will begin to encourage you again. He'll say, I'm with you. I know you're stepping out here. He's not going to just abandon you and say, go get him. Go get him. No, He walks with you. Some of you got some pretty big obstacles in front of you. My heart goes out to the young people today. Because I'm going to tell you, it's not a popular thing for young people to serve God. It's not a popular thing for them to serve Jesus. Some of them feel very, very alone. And it's a desperate place to be. And you know how the pressure is. Just think back what it was like when you went through school. The pressures to conform, the pressures to give in, to all the things that the students are doing nowadays. To be the only one that really actually even thinks about God. Many young people don't even think about Jesus at all other than a cuss word. And we can either frown at that or we could just understand that maybe nobody's ever showed them who He really is and what He really could do for their lives. Is it any, why do we get so surprised when sinners act like sinners? I mean, seriously, why do we get so upset when people who don't know God through Jesus, why do we get so upset when they sin? I mean, seriously, it just doesn't make sense. Did you always not sin? No. If we could be good enough, we didn't have to have Jesus, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, I'm just talking very practically here. I'm not trying to be, you know, smart or anything like that. But we get so surprised and shocked, you know? Let's be life preservers. Let's be full of the Spirit. Let's let the shout of our lives be the shout of Jesus. Let's let people see who He really is. Let's not condemn them. My gosh, they already feel condemned. In fact, in John 3:18, it says the unbeliever stands condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're condemned. They already feel the weight of that. We don't want to be a people that continues to heap that on them. You see, the greatest weapon that we have at our disposal is love. It's the most powerful weapon that we have in our arsenal of weapons. Oh, we love to talk about the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And those are all things that are great, but the greatest weapon that you and I possess is the ability to love people despite the ugliness of sin. That's why Jesus was able to go to the places that nobody else wanted to go. The Pharisees and the religious people, they frowned on Him. They frowned on Him when He went into the, you know, bars and whatever they had back then, you know. That would have been like modern day. They frowned on Him when He actually linked arms with people and He went to some of these ugly places. He went into the crack houses. See, that's what Jesus does. He breaks down the barriers. He breaks down the walls. He goes into the ugliness of our lives. You remember what that was like? You remember what it was like to be covered up? You know, we call it things like miry clay and all that. It was just sin. It was just the filth of life. We were all contaminated. Many of you came through such horrible situations. I've heard your stories. It breaks my heart, but yet you're still going for God. Many of you went through abuse. Many of you went through physical abuse. Many of you went through abandonment. Many of you didn't have fathers. Many of you didn't have mothers. And you question life and you wonder why all this happened to me. What did I do? It was just life. We live in a fallen world. It wasn't God heaping this stuff on you. No. See, God wants to wrap his arms around you in the midst of all that and love you and hold you and build you up and encourage you and give you a new life and a reason to live, a hope to live for. If all we're living for is this, I mean, seriously? If all we're living for is a little bit of coin, a little bit of scratch, I mean, is that really all that life's about is money? No, that's not what it's about. We're living for something way beyond ourselves. We're living for the kingdom of God. We're living for him. We're living for the very one who came, he lived, and he died, and he gave his life for us. And then he sent Holy Spirit to come and empower us to be witnesses for him, for his glory. See, that to me is a purpose for living. It's not just about sports. It's not just about partying. It's not just about smoking up or whatever it is that people do. It's about serving God and giving him your life, man. That brings meaning and purpose to who you are. Some of you in here are called to go into the mission field. And you say, well, how can I do that? I'm a lot older. I don't know. God knows. But don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your callings. Don't give up on the ambitions that you had even when you were young. You say, I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you're not. Maybe you can't do some of the physical things that you used to do, but I'm going to tell you what, God, if you get on your knees, God will speak to you, and he will give you creative ways to serve him and to glorify him. Amen? Don't check out. Don't check out. What he did for us is worth it. We need to recharge, okay? I used to always hear the old-time preachers. They'd come in, and they'd say, it's not time to retire. It's time to refire, you know? There's truth in that, though, and I know that kind of sounds corny, but you know what? There's truth in that. We do need to recharge. We do need to refire. We do need to get refilled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you haven't exercised your prayer language in years, and I want to encourage you to start again. Let that thing come out of you again. Let Holy Spirit take charge of your life again. Let him have all of you. Don't just give him that little part that we all do. Give him all of it. Give him all of it. May the prayer of your life be when you get on your knees and you just say, God, whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do it for you. And I'm going to tell you, when I came to that place in my life a few years ago, I was a Christian. I was saved. I was serving Jesus. I loved the Lord and I did all that stuff. But I was dying on the inside and I was dying physically. And I said, Lord, I'm going through this. I've shared this with you before. I'm going through this, Lord. I'm going to have this surgery. I'm going to do whatever it takes. But I said, Lord, on the other side of this, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'm yours.